Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and good evening to you. Yes, it's 3 minutes after 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I think this is the latest that I've ever done a show. Yes, you are listening to the voice of Dynamic Daphne, your host for the A New Day show. And, you know, there are sometimes when you get involved in certain aspects of what's happening in your community. And this evening I went to two events. You know, normally my shows are aired on Sunday nights at 7 p.m. But today I was blessed to witness the graduation for some people who went through the program at the Bridgeport Rescue Mission. So I was honored to be invited to that. And I went there, and what an amazing event it was. And to listen to the testimony of the graduates. You know, never say never. Because when people give up on you, and even sometimes you give up on yourself, the good Lord is always there. So I am honored because next Sunday evening, we are going to have their executive director on, the Reverend Terry Wilcox. He's been the executive director there for over 11 years, and he's doing an amazing, amazing, amazing job over there. So next Sunday, Reverend Terry is going to be our guest. And as if that was not enough, I was honored. Those of you who listened to the show on Friday, I was on with Benjamin, and I don't have the rest of his name in front of me, but he is the founder of the Quantum Leap Institute in Brazil. And he was here doing a day-long event on prejudice and all of that at the Western Connecticut State University. And I was honored to be there. I caught like the tail end of it, but I can tell you it was a phenomenal, phenomenal event. So I was honored to be there. And that's the reason why, instead of canceling the show, I pushed the show back and we start at 9 p.m. So I'm working on getting the chat room up. I don't know what is taking it this long. It is very slow, but we are going ahead. And while we wait on all the technologies to come up, I want to ask each and every one of you to pray for those of us who live in the Northeast. I am one of those persons. I live in Connecticut, in the northeastern part of the United States. And Sandy, the storm Sandy, is heading our way. So I want to give thanks to my neighbors, because you all know I had surgery on the 10th of October. And this morning I looked on all the things I had to pack up in the backyard. And I said, I'm going to start early, take my time. I know I'm still going to have some pain, but I got to take my time and put them away. And I want to thank my neighbor Jamelli and Charlie, because I was out there, and Jamelli, she was over two twos to help me to put the things away. And then my neighbor Charlie came and put the plants in. So guys, I thank you all very much. It is such a blessing to have good neighbors and to have good friends, especially when you live alone. You know, and when you're not feeling so well, it is good to have people who care about you. And I'm so blessed, I'm so honored to have amazing neighbors and good friends. So pray for us here at the Northeast that Sandy will turn away and go into the Caribbean Sea. Caribbean Sea, we ask that you turn around in the name of Jesus. We are asking that the storm change route and go into the Caribbean Sea. Just still the winds, Lord. Bless us so that we might not get damages too much. So we want to be so thankful. I want to again read from Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. And today is the 28th of October 2012. And the one for today is written by Barbara Soliman, Triumph Over Obstacles. Regardless of the situation, insurmountable hurdles, difficulties, and challenging issues coming at you like fastballs at a baseball game, or huge opponents, tall as mountains and strong as bulls. We have choices, and the strength it takes to fight back with wisdom and knowledge. We have the free will to allow something to disturb or hurt us or not. We do have a voice. We can improve ourselves. We can learn something new to feed ourselves and our families. We are beautiful regardless of how we look or what we get to wear. Money does not mean class. Money does not necessarily grant wisdom. I am grateful for the experiences, the trials, the triumphs. They made me who I am today, a woman of might. Our strength comes not from whom is by our side, but from who we are inside. I face many challenges, she writes, yet it is my choice to allow myself to oomph regardless. Believe, achieve, enjoy, and succeed. I am sure this story can be yours and it can be mine as well. And I have a caller. Let me go to the caller. The chat room is still doing its thing. I don't know why, but we are still going to go ahead. Hello, caller.
Good evening, sister.
Good evening.
Hi, this is Dr. Imas Sarah. I'm just listening in.
How are you, my sister? How are you? I saw you. No. I'm mixing you up with Doc Vaj. Somebody else. How are you, my sister? Yes.
Doing excellent. Thank you. And yourself?
I am blessed and highly favored. I'm thankful I went out this evening and participated into two events. One gentleman, he is the founder of the Quantum Leap Institute in Brazil.
Wow.
And I was honored. When you get a chance in the week, you can probably listen to it. I was honored to have him on the show. I did a special segment on Friday, and I even did it with a translator. But it was a powerful, powerful show. And I tell you, Dr. Imad, I said to them, I had committed to this other event, a graduation at the Bridgeport Mission, Rescue Mission. So I was not sure whether or not I would be able to make it. However, I was able to leave the other event at 6 p.m., and I knew their event was going to go until 7:30. So I said, it's better to show my face than not to go.
Yes.
And I tell you, Dr. Iman, I walked in the room, took my seat. The event was done in Portuguese. And the gentleman looked over in the middle of his presentation. I had no idea he knew what I looked like. I didn't know that because I've never met him.
Wow.
He looked over to me and acknowledged me. I walked in with my friend. He acknowledged me. And I understand Portuguese, but I don't speak it.
Okay.
And he told the audience that I was the one that had him on the radio show, allowed him to speak about the work that he's doing. And that I do similar work and my teaching is similar to his. And it was such an honor.
Yeah.
Then they brought the headsets that my friend and I would be able to hear the rest of the presentation in English.
Wow.
And at the end, he rushed over and he gave the biggest hug to myself and my friend. And I said, God's people are God's people. It doesn't matter the color of our skin or the language we speak. So long as we are obedient in doing God's work.
Yes, yes, yes.
We get to connect. We get to connect. And just to see, you know, just to see the warmth. And one of the things we touched bases on the show on Friday was how people are prejudiced against each other.
Yes.
And to talk about, you know, when Jesus was on earth, the things he did. You know, I a friend of mine, I don't remember the title of the book, but he's going to send it to me. I don't know if you're familiar with the term, the black iron curtain.
Vaguely enlightened.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to pick up on it because my friend was the one who was telling me about it.
Okay.
And he, when we were talking about it, he was speaking about it based on what one of his mentors had told him. What do you know, this gentleman, and I'm not speaking about the Brazilian gentleman, no, I'm speaking about an American gentleman. He met the author of the book that spoke about all of that. And I said so powerful because he read a couple of paragraphs from the book to me, and I said, amazing. You know how the church is, and I don't know, out where are you, in Alabama?
No, I'm in Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Yes.
I don't know if out in Tennessee whether the churches like to collaborate. But I know up east everybody want to do their own things. You don't see anybody pulling together to do things. And the gentleman who wrote in the book, and I'll be sure to tell you about the book when I get it.
All right.
Why this is no, and that's part of what they categorize as the black iron curtain. That's why when you see some people, like for instance, I'm having an event and I said to you, you come, and you say, oh no, you wouldn't come. And so I keep my people to myself, you keep your people to yourself, and go on. So everybody have their own little black iron curtain. It was interesting. I can't wait to read the book for myself, and I'll be sure to share it with you.
Yes. Now, you mean this is a universal occurrence?
The book was written in, I think he wrote the book in the 70s, the gentleman wrote the book about this. Because, you know, like, for instance, not to blame any particular church, but sometimes, let's say the Methodists are having an event, they wouldn't want to collaborate with the Presbyterian and so on and so forth.
Right.
I know out here every church is like isolated by themselves. It's very rarely you see some people put together. Baptists are by themselves, the others, everybody's in their own little cocoon.
Right, exactly.
So in this book, it is called, I think, the King James, I think it's called the King James Monopoly or something. I'll tell you the name of the book when I get it. And he's saying in that book, the reason the churches are like this is because of what they're referred to as the black iron curtain. So I can't wait to put my hands on the book and to read it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, and I didn't have a guest tonight, so I just decide I'm going to come on, I'm going to just have some empowering conversation. And you know, I am rebranding what I do, and I want to just design certain different programs that I can reach out more to more people in my work. So I'm not going to wait for the new year to come to do what I need to do. So are you doing anything new in your line of work that you're doing?
Well, this vision I have for empowerment, and it, you know, it just came, like if 10 people came together and we just took one person and fulfilled the needs of that individual, and I'm talking about people who are a penny over poverty.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's enough resources out here that no one should have to suffer, I feel.
It's true.
And there are people, you know, men, women, elders, who have situations going on in their lives that is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes, you know, it might be something simple, just somebody helping them figure things out. They might have everything they need and not know the right resources. Or there might be things that they need, and because they have been self-sufficient, you know, they don't want to be humbled by having to ask, so they suffer.
Mm-hmm.
It could be as simple as somebody having a leaky faucet, which caught running up the light bill, but they don't have the money to pay a plumber or know who to call
mm-hmm.
without being ripped off in those cases.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
we could work on one person at a time and encourage that person to pass it on, because
mm-hmm.
everybody knows somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We might mm-hmm. have had you might have had a faucet fixed and have an extra one in the house.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And pass it to this person. It's just little, you know, random acts of kindness that will,
mm-hmm.
you know, will impact. And I think we just make small steps
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
to help people.
How do you think, because a lot of times we get insight about these things and we don't step up and implement them, because I'm not saying this is the case with you, but a lot of times we think that someone else ought to be doing this. You know, why the government do this? Why the state don't that? You know, I love what you just mentioned. How do you think we can get something like that implemented?
Well, by conversation and dialogue like what we're having now, I have some people that I'm going to talk to here in Tennessee and see if they would be interested in getting this started. Now, myself, heat is a major factor. You know, people staying warm. So, you know, I want to buy several of those little Amish heaters and, you know, give them out to people who really need it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
mm-hmm.
some people, if they could pay something on it, fine. If they didn't have it, just give it to them.
What's an Amish heater? Because I don't know what that
okay,
is.
Okay, well, they call it the Amish. It's a radiant they call it radiant heat, and it's in a little box, like,
uh-huh.
and it has wheels on it, and it rolls around, and it's supposed to emit I think it's supposed to warm up 1,000 square feet.
And how is it? What do you put in there? Coal?
No, it's the electric. It's like a little electric heater, but it's energy efficient. So I had. I have one left, and so I plugged it up, and I feel the difference in my house, because several years ago they stole my furnace out and, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And but it seems to be working pretty good.
Okay, I know what you're talking. It's the portable heater. I didn't realize they called them an Amish heater.
Yeah, well, that was one of the things.
You'll
see them advertised now. They say radiant heat.
Okay.
And
okay.
It's in a little decorative box.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I've kept mine on for a month, and I only noticed like a $30 increase in my utility bill.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I feel that that would be, cost efficient.
Right. Have you thought about getting somebody to put a grant together, a grant program?
No, I don't. You know, I was led. I call the Creator Yahweh not to get a grant, because God is my grantor. When
mm-hmm.
you get grants, after you go through, you know, the process, but the bottom line is I want God to get the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And that eliminates our God-given skills, talents, and ability.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we go getting a grant
mm-hmm.
because that's, to me, that's white-collar welfare.
Not really. A grant is not like welfare. A grant is out there. For example, somebody who has a foundation or something, and they believe in what you are talking about, they would put the money up for you to get those units to hand out to the people that need them. So it's not like a grant, it's not like the welfare where people is on it. Because they believe in what you are doing, they fund it for you to be able to give more units. And it's not money that you have to pay back or the people have to pay back. But it's like you're explaining it to me now. Mm-hmm. And I like what you're saying. I said it's a wonderful idea. So if I have a foundation and my foundation want to enhance people's life like you are talking about, mm-hmm. I would say to you, Dr. Iman, here is $100,000. Buy as many units as this can buy and give it to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And some foundations say to you, this is a 5-year program. So every year for 5 years, they would give you that amount of money to buy units. So you know, let's say you give out 30,000 units in 2012. You wouldn't need to give those people units again, you would move to a different number.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And you expand. So that's how those things work. But I'm totally in support of what you say. A lot of times we depend on man for our source, but they are not. God is our source. He's our provider.
Well, you know, I have found, Sister, people, we are for profit, because that is not scriptural, not to be profitable.
That's right.
And, you know, I think the money, we make profit to be able to empower people.
That's right. You know, there's a gentleman up in, he's somewhere in Maryland.
Okay.
He just wrote an e-book called Running a Non-For-Profit Does Not Mean You Don't Make Profit.
right.
Yeah, because
right.
A lot of people think you're not supposed to make profit when you run non-profit, but you're supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't, how is the organization going to be growing? You have to make the profit for it to grow.
Exactly.
You know? So
The loopholes in that, you know, not dotting all I's, crossing all T's.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, you know, seen some of my cohorts caught up in what they call misappropriation of fund and falsely accused of misappropriation of funds when they were just doing things that needed to be done. But when
they need
money, you got to do it exactly, precisely that way.
It has to be documented the way you had put it in when you're getting the money. And that's where people think, all right, yes, I get the money. I said I was going to use it to pay salary. Oh, no, I can take it and I can buy furniture for the office. No. If you
mm-hmm.
say you're going to pay X amount, you got to do what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't realize that those things comes back to haunt.
Yes.
To haunt people. So
yes.
we got to pay it by the books. You have to, as you rightfully say, you have to dot your I's and cross your T's, and you know, mm-hmm. you have to do everything that is needed to be done.
Right. And then, you know, in the beginning, like the gentleman you were speaking about writing, you know, making a profit, you have to be specific when you write that down, how you're going to, you know, it's just too, for me personally, you
mm-hmm.
know, and
mm-hmm.
then, you know, I couldn't do it. So I don't want, you know, to be restricted.
Okay. You want to have the creativity to, when you decide you're going to do this, you just go ahead and do that without without modifying anything else. And you have that right to do that, you know. You have that right to do that as well.
Yes. And I think for what I'm doing, for teaching people self-sufficiency and independence, and relying on God, because I feel like it's more powerful, empowering to say we did this as opposed to we did this with a grant or this and that and the other. It's about developing hidden talents and abilities and seeing, you know, I'm thinking of this as miracles. And, you know, just everyday people that come together that are blessed, you know. So there are many people that are blessed that they could donate $100 or whatever it's going to cost, $125, to get one of these heaters to bless somebody. I mean, that's
right.
More powerful than waiting on a grant to come from the government. You have to pay somebody to write the, what you call it? You got to write the, why
the
you
grant?
Want.
The grant?
Yeah, right. Yeah, to write, you have to have grant writers. You have to have that knowledge. So look how many months and weeks and times all that's taken when we can just come together and feel the need, because these people are going to come from people that we already know.
Mm-hmm.
That are going
mm-hmm.
through something.
That's right. That's right.
You know so we
don't,
it's not, you know, worrying about who's going to be a fraud. These are people that we have personal knowledge that they're going through. There are a lot of people right now that have made, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays for others when they were working. But now they're not working.
That's true. That's true, too. You know, that is so true. And I think that we need to go back to the understanding that it takes a village to raise a child.
Yes.
And we know we're not talking about child rearing here, but when we look back, I am my brother's keeper.
Yes.
But nowadays, people are not looking like that. People are selfish. They just want to talk about themselves and what they can get for themselves. They're not interested in helping each other. Like how you said here that somebody can take $100 and buy a heater and give it to somebody else. But a lot of times you would see people go through a lot of agony and nobody would want to help them.
Yeah, and, you know, because then, you know, another factor to come in is judgment.
That's right.
You know,
so
we start
judgmental.
Judging.
You are so right.
So we, you know, when we look at the thing, when we go in to help this one person get on their track, okay, then it might be financial management. Maybe they don't know how to manage their money. There are people who are going through so many life-changing events. That they're all discombobulated in their thought. And they need somebody that's going to care and not be in judgment. You know, because maybe while they were making money, they still didn't know how to manage money.
That's it. That's it right there. The management of it.
Right.
And then sometimes you wonder, too, with the amount of responsibility they have, you know.
Yes.
Were they really making enough to
do
that? There is so much question, you know?
Yes. But, you know, it's not our business all that, you know, just to make sure they're making the right decision.
That's right. If you can help, you help without any judgment.
Right. And that's what stops a lot of people, because if they see you have a nice car, and, you know, you're going through some real changes, crisis in your life. Well, people say, well, she don't need nothing because, see, look at what she's driving. They want to judge you by that. That has nothing to do with that. There's a genuine need going on.
You know that. You know that. And, you know, because I'm telling you, I can remember days when I went in my car. I am dressed to the T.
Yes.
I have my makeup on, and my gas needle was an empty.
Yes.
And
yes.
If I would say that to somebody else, the first thing out of their mouth how you dress so and you don't have gas. And they don't they don't understand. So it has been a practice of mine that when the Lord wants somebody to bless me, he's going to speak to that person to bless me, because call it pride if you may, unless the Lord said to ask somebody, I would not ask the person, because people are too judgmental.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, as if you, because you have a need, you're supposed to be walking around with boogers hanging out your nose, your hair standing all over, dirty, funky. I mean,
and that's how people are, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's how they think and they figure, because they want to lift themselves above.
Mm-hmm.
So if they have to look down on you to help you, it makes them feel better. And it is such a shame.
Mm-hmm.
It is such a shame that people are like that way. But
yeah.
What we say, we have to just keep praying that everybody will see the light.
Yes.
Just pray.
Well, yes, we get busy. So, sister, I had to really get busy on this vision and not wait. And because I help people sporadically as I'm led, but to get other people involved and to have this dialogue and this conversation, because these type of things would be coming out. And, you know, to show the love of God regardless of religion, ethnicity,
mm-hmm.
you know, with no strings attached.
That's
and
right.
To do it because it's the right thing, because but for the grace of God, there go you. And a lot
exactly.
of these people that are suffering, they, you know, they once sit where they thought that they wouldn't need anybody. But here,
that's
through
right.
the economy, illnesses, and various life-changing events, now here they're sitting up in big houses with no food. They don't want to go to a shelter or stamps, and people shouldn't have to be humbled like that.
That's
and
right.
We have enough resources that, you know, we could get together and help people.
That's right. And, I mean, with the efficiency of the internet now, what I love about it, we don't even have to be local to each other
right.
to help each other. And this is why I'm so excited about, because I don't know if I had mentioned to you about the school feeding program I'm getting together in Jamaica at
okay.
my old school, sister.
Okay.
When I went down there on vacation in August, the Lord took me right back to my old school.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, the little canteen that I used to eat out of, it is still there. The only difference now, I am going to be 65 this year. And the only difference now is that they have electricity. They have a refrigerator, a deep freeze, and a gas stove. When I was going there, my sister, I don't know if you know about cooking on wood fire.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
that's what they used to use there. And I said to the lady, I said, I used to be a student here. And I said, they didn't have gas stove when we were coming here. Everything was cooked on the wood fire. And she laughed and she said, yes, ma'am, we have stove now. And the children are going to school hungry. They don't have any breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord has put it in my spirit to get a breakfast program started there.
Okay.
So I want to ask you to pray for it. I tell you, God is blessing me, because one day I was driving in town and somebody stopped me and gave me an envelope with $117.53.
Mm.
She said she had it in an account, and the Lord told her to close the account and give me the money to feed the little children in Jamaica.
Oh, no, wonderful.
Somebody else gave me $10, another person $20, and another person $20. And I am so thankful when I saw that happen, because I said, this is God's way of showing me, yes,
mm-hmm.
this is what I want you to do, and I will speak to the people that needs to step up.
Mm-hmm.
To step up and do it. And, you know, people look on it and they say, oh, that's a big task. I say, well, it is not too big for God.
That's right.
It is not too big for God. So, you know, a lot of times, sometimes the people around us will let you think as if you're you crazy, you're doing all of that and you're doing all of that. But it is all good.
Oh, yes.
It is all good.
That's what they said, Einstein, Thomas Edison, when he thought to create the light bulb.
That's right. Tell me about it.
So would God give us, to the ordinary people it seems impossible, but there is nothing impossible.
And
I think that's a wonderful idea.
That's right. I'm shopping for books. And I picked up a couple weeks ago, I picked up this book, The Power of Your Subconscious Mind.
Yes.
Unlock Your Master Keys to Success. I don't know if you have read it yet. It's by Joseph Murphy.
No, I have not.
I want to just share some things that he says here, and I'm sure it will bless you and bless somebody else who is listening. He says, how this book can work miracles in your life. I have seen miracles happen to men and women in all walks of life, all over the world. Miracles will happen to you, too, when you begin using the magic power of your subconscious mind. This book is designed to teach you that your habitual thinking and imagery mold, fashion, and create your destiny. For as a man thinketh in his subconscious mind, so he is. He says, do you know the answer? Why is one man sad and another man happy? Why is one man joyous and prosperous and another man poor and miserable? Why is one man fearful and anxious and another full of faith and confidence? Why does one man have a beautiful, luxurious home while another man lives out of a manger existence in the slum? Why is one man a great success and another object failure? Why is one speaker outstanding and immensely popular and another mediocre and unpopular? Why is one man a genius in his work or profession while the other man toils and moils all his life without doing or accomplishing anything worthwhile? Why is one man healed of so-called incurable disease and another isn't? Why is it so many good, kind, religious people suffer the tortures of the damned in their mind and body? Why it is many immortal and irreligious people succeed and prosper and enjoy radiant health? Why is one woman happily married and her sister very unhappy and frustrated? Is there an answer to these questions? In the working of your conscious and subconscious mind, there most certainly is. And aren't these questions powerful, my sister?
Yes.
Because as we look and listen over all these questions, it points right back to you and I. What have we been thinking about each of these questions that lay out here to us? Our result is based totally on our thought process. If you think you can, you can. If you think you can't, you already failed because that's what you think.
Yes.
You know, is the gentleman Benjamin that I went to listen to at the Western Connecticut State University tonight, he was saying that here in the Western world, we use the word can't. And I didn't even realize it until he said it. When we say can't, you see, he said the T comes at the end and he shows the position of our tongue in our mouth to say the T. So he says, when you look at it spiritually, we are only supposed to say we can, because that's what came out first before we say we can't. And the T comes afterwards. And I said, that was a powerful thing here, because, and it comes back to this question here. If we look up and say, yes, we can, we will accomplish what we want. But a lot of times people tend to look to other sources and cast blames instead of look inside and say, well, this is what I am supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I find out that for the past 9 months, I kind of semi-isolate myself from some people. And they weren't bad people. They weren't doing negative things like drugging and all of that kind of stuff. But the conversation they were having, I no longer welcome.
Thank you. Come on, girl. Come on with it now.
It's like they were blessed people.
Yes.
With positions.
Mm-hmm.
They were biblical students.
Yes.
Who
come
could
on.
Who could roll the scriptures off of their tongue.
Right.
But when it came to time to apply those same scriptures in their lives and to change their dialogue, it just wasn't happening.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, this is really a conflict of interest. I don't need to be part of this anymore.
Right.
And I don't, when I have made a decision, Dr. Ahmad, to release myself or free myself from certain things, I'm not giving anybody any excuses. I'm not telling them any lies, and I'm not apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because, oh, I have so come to realize when my seasons are up, and nobody don't have to tell me when it's up. I'm so fully aware, and I'm ready to move on. And that is what I'm doing. And I'm saying this for somebody who is listening to know. Don't be giving any excuse. If you know it's time for you to move on, move on. Because when you don't move on, you are stopping somebody else's growth, and you're also stopping yours.
Mm.
Because a lot of times we are standing in the gap where somebody else needs to move up to.
Mm-hmm.
But because we are so comfortable there, the next person cannot move. So you got to know when it's time to move and just move. Get out of the way. Get out of the way.
Yes.
The next thing Dr. Murphy writes here, he says, excuse me. His reason for writing this book, he says, it is for the express purpose of answering and clarifying the above questions. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
And many others of a similar nature that motivated me to write this book, he says. I have endeavored to explain the great fundamental truths of your mind and the simplest language possible. I believe that it is perfectly possible to explain the basic fundamental and fundamental laws of life and of your mind and ordinary everyday language. you will find that the language of this book is that used in your daily papers, in your daily language, you will find that the language of this book is that which is used in your daily workshop, daily work papers, current periodicals, in your business offices, in your home, and in your daily workshop. I urge you to study this book and apply the techniques outlined in there. And as you do, I feel absolutely convinced that you will lay hold of a miracle working power that will lift you up from confusion, misery, melancholy, failure, and guide you to your true place, solve your difficulties, serve you from emotional and physical bondage, and place you on the royal road of freedom, happiness, and peace of mind. This miracle working power of your subconscious, how to use your inner powers, you will open the prison door of fear and enter into a life described by Paul as the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Isn't that powerful? He goes on to say, releasing the miracle working power. That means it's not some of us have it, all of us have it, regardless of our gender, sexual orientation, ethnicity, we all have this. Releasing the miracle working power. A personal healing will ever be the most convincing evidence of our subconscious powers. Over 42 years ago, I resolved a malignancy. I resolved a malignancy in excuse me, in medical terminology, it was called a sarcoma. By using the healing power of my subconscious mind, which created me and still maintained and governs all of my vital functions, the technique I applied is elaborated on in this book, and I feel sure that it will help others to trust the same infinite healing presence lodged in the subconscious depths of all men. Through the kindly offices of my doctor friend, I suddenly realized that it was natural to assume that the creative intelligence which made all of my organs, fashioned my body, and started my heart could heal its own handiwork. The ancient proverb says, the doctor dresses the wound and God heals it. I've never heard that before. The doctor, this is an ancient proverb. The doctor dresses the wound and the doctor heals it. Ooh, that's a good one. I have to put it in my notes of reference. Wonders happen when you pray effectively. Scientific prayers is the harmonious interaction of the conscious and subconscious levels of mind, scientifically directed for a specific purpose. This book will teach you the scientific way to tap the realm of the infinite power within you, enable you to get what you really want in life. You desire a happier, fuller, and richer life? Begin to use this miracle working power and smooth your way in daily affairs. Solve business problems. Bring harmony in family relationships. Be sure that you read this book several times. The many chapters will show you how this wonderful power works and how you can draw out the hidden inspiration and wisdom that is within you. Learn the simple techniques of impressing the subconscious mind. Follow the new scientific way in tapping the infinite storehouse. Read this book carefully, earnestly, and lovingly. Prove to yourself the amazing way it can help you. It could be that I believe it will be the turning point of your life.
Wow.
Do you want to comment on anything I've said? You heard anything that kind of stand out to you? You want to comment on anything?
Yeah, it's, you know, I was reading something similar today because I try to, it's our thoughts that will move us forward or stagnate us. But, you know, I was thinking today, the people that we have around us, like you were saying, you were removing, we have to remove ourselves from people who do not serve our higher good, our purpose. And because you'll have a vision or an idea, and you can't really focus on it if you engage with people who are not where you are, because they'll be calling you on certain, you know, just outside grumbling and complaining. And so you have to repetition. Is I was taught by Mr. S.B. Fuller. I was honored at the time he was living a full of products in Chicago. And he said, anything that you repetitiously do, you will succeed. And you
That's
just have
right.
to keep on.
Keep on doing it. Yes. Keep on doing it. You know something I'm going to share with you that I had no idea how powerful this was. I went on the Mantle Williams show as a guest when Jack Canfield was launching a couple of his books, right?
Girl, go ahead.
And Jack did a demonstration. He called somebody from the audience up on the stage, and he told us to think all the positive things we can think about the man. Everything good that you can think about the guy. Just think about it. And he said, watch what happens. He asked the man to extend his arm. And the entire audience, right, was supposed to just concentrate everything positive towards the man. And he was trying to push that man's arm down. Okay? With everything he has, he could not move that man's arm because it was like it was planted in cement, right?
Right.
And then the same arm now, he said, okay, I want you all to flush all that good thought that you had towards him now. He said, you all need to think everything bad and nasty about this man and see what happened. Dr. Imad, with less energy than he was using the other time, he was able to press the man's hand down. And he says that, I did that to illustrate that when people send negative thoughts and negative energy towards you, it affects you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you are conscious about it or not, it affects you. And I came out of that show thinking, I am not going to be in that environment. I'm protecting and I'm shielding myself.
Yes.
And this is why we have to continuously pray a prayer of protection around ourselves. Because
yes.
I did not know that when you are not even conscious, and if people do you something deliberately, it affects you. But their thoughts, I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So I came out there with a new understanding. So I'm sharing that for somebody else.
Yes.
Dr. Murphy writes here, he says, everybody prays.
Mm-hmm.
He says, we have another 30 minutes remaining. Callers, if you want to call in, I know there are people in the chat. I couldn't get the chat room up tonight. I don't know why. But I know there are people listening online. It happens every week. Lots of people always listening. They say, oh, the conversation is so good. We don't want to disturb you by calling in. But by all means, call in if you want to join into this conversation. You know I welcome you. The number to call in is 646-915-8166. So call in. Let me hear from you. Dr. Murphy says, everybody prays. He said, do you know how to pray effectively? How long is it since you prayed as part of your everyday activities? In an emergency, in time of danger or trouble, in illness, and when deaths lurk, prayers pour forth. And ain't that the truth, my sister?
Mm.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
He said, your own friends, just read your daily newspaper. It is reported that prayers are being offered up all over the nation for a child stricken with a so-called incurable ailment, for peace among the nations, for a group of miners trapped in the flooded mine. Later, it is reported that when rescue the miners said that they prayed while waiting for the rescue. An airplane pilot says that he prayed as he made a successful emergency landing. Certainly, prayers is an ever-present help in time of trouble. But you don't have to wait for trouble to make prayer an integral and constructive part of your life. The dramatic answers to prayer make headlines and are the subjects of testimonies and effectiveness of prayer. What of the many humble prayers of children, the simple thanksgiving of grace at the table daily, the faithful devotions wherewith the individual seeks only communion with God, my work with people has made it necessary for me to study the various approaches to prayer. I have experienced the power of prayer in my own life, and I have talked and worked with many people who also have enjoyed the help of prayers. The problem usually is how to tell others how to pray. People who are in trouble have difficulty in thinking and acting reasonable. They need an easy formula to follow, an obvious workable pattern that is simple, the specifics. Often, they must be led to approach the emergency. On unique feature of this book. The unique features of this book is its down-to-earth practicality. Here are presently very simple, usable techniques and formulas which you can easily apply to your own workday, workaday world. I have taught these simple processes to men and women all over the world, and recently, over 1,000 men and women of all religious affiliations attended a special class in Los Angeles where I presented the highlights of what is offered in the pages of this book. Many came from distance of 200 miles of each class. The special features of this book will appeal to you because they show you why oftentimes you get the opposite of what you pray for and reveal to you the reasons why. People have asked me in all parts of the world and thousands of times, why is it I have prayed and prayed and got no answer? In this book, you will find the reasons for this common complaint. The many ways of impressing the subconscious mind and getting the right answers made this an extraordinary valuable book and an ever-present help in the time of trouble. Wow. What do you believe? Desire is prayer. I want to give you an opportunity because the Wednesday, the Sunday night show is all about life story and changing lives. And I heard you mention when I just had put your line, I had opened your line, you spoke about what you are looking to do to empower people. So would you like a few minutes to talk about what you are doing to empower the lives of others?
Well, currently I had to reinvent myself. I think I heard you say that. And in prior, I want for others what I want for myself, and the things that I desire to do are things that I myself need and have in my walk with my various cohorts and talking with people the same things. So I had to go back to 1983 when I founded the organization, and we were a small group in Memphis, Tennessee, in Lemoyne Garden Housing, where I was living at that time. And I saw people having needs that, you know, and just despondent. So I was given to create the Unified Effort Development, meaning that we all have God-given skills, talents, and, you know, that we are not using or know how to use. So I didn't know how to start. So I found people that this is what they did, help organize, and invited some neighbors. But in less than, you know, 6 months, we had received this national award.
Wow.
And and when you mentioned Jack Canfield, my company, back, my daughter was shot in the head in 87. So I launched a campaign to take her back to health, so I became known as the world-famous Pie Lady. They called me the Pie Lady. So he has sent me a letter, and I was just looking at it the other day. Chicken soup.
For the soul, yeah.
Right, yes. And for me to participate and send, you know, my story in. And at that moment, I didn't do it. You know, it was later, but there were so many things going on in my life. And when we were, you were speaking earlier, one of the things that we must do is not reveal what we're doing around people who are not
mm-hmm.
about our higher good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because, the illustration of that energy.
Mm-hmm.
And there'll be so many people hating on you, and you don't
mm-hmm.
even know that.
Yep.
And when we speak things before they even had a chance to form, there are people that'll be praying to pull those things down.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're called to do, a work, you have to pull up on that energy and surround yourself with people who think like you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like a Cinderella overnight, and all
wow.
the success and all the parasites, everything pulling me down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm reinventing myself and remembering the things, my success in the past
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
back there because it's good because I'm going to write a book about this, but we can never give up.
That's
and the
right.
thing that kept me going when I saw myself drowning was success of helping somebody else to make it through this and refusing to give up.
Yes, 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 yes. That's it right there.
And
that's
so
right.
Today I was thinking about, when last night when the vision came of putting this together and just go ahead and just do it. So, Monday I'll be making phone calls with people to just do it. I'm doing so much on my own, but, that don't mean you have to get other people involved and
to
feel the power of being able to do things on our own because we're powerful.
That's right, because there are lots of people out there who will support your dream. We just have to find the right people.
Right. But, that fear factor will come in. And, we have to dispel that enemy spirit.
That's right.
Because there is nothing impossible, and it sounds so wonderful and so huge, but just to do it. So that's where I am, I'm rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are given a work to do,
mm-hmm.
you are going to be attacked on so many levels.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You have my phone number, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Because there's something something just came in my spirit, but I want to talk to you off air, so you can call me. What time is it where you live?
I don't know. I'm not looking. I'm imagining. What time is it where you are?
Oh, you are an hour behind me, I think.
Yes, it's
10. Yeah, it's 10:13, and I'm going to be up. We get off the air at 10:30. So when the show ends, you can call me. There's something that came in my spirit I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
So I'm sorry to cut that. I just wanted to say that. Yeah, and you are so right that, we have to be selective of who we share our dreams and vision with. And the people we disclose things to, we got to make sure they are the right people that, they are in sync with what we are thinking.
Right. And, I have a dear, an associate. I'm very careful about using the word friend.
Oh, yeah. You have associate acquaintances and someone you met.
Yeah. And so tonight, she was going through something, but she had, she was complaining. She started complaining. And I told her, I said, sister, I cannot allow you in my spirit with that negative way of thinking. You have to be, in the spirit of gratitude.
That's what I'm talking about.
And that's what happened to me. I was bombarded with negative energy and, not wanting to offend people. But one thing I saw is so powerful is when you are standing and you know you right, you rebuke it, and they will leave without any problem.
Ain't that the truth?
They're just waiting on you to stand up.
And you have the biggest grin on your face.
Yes.
When you see them start going in the reverse and moving, and you're thinking, oh, Lord, look at that.
Yes, yes. You know why? You know, and I say, this is not in my spirit to do that. I don't feel led to do that. No. Don't even explain. No.
That's right. God, you know, I just love when the Spirit protect you. You just have to stand firm and stand strong into that which you believe and that which you have called to carry out.
Yes.
Once you stand firm, Daddy going to have your back.
Oh,
he's going to move those people out of your way. He's just going to move them. He's just going to move them like nothing.
Yes, like nothing. And you know, and that is so empowering, you know, to see that. And when she got off the phone, because, you know, I don't care. You know, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but I'm not going to let anybody hurt my spirit anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to protect your dream. You got
yes.
to protect the vision.
Yes.
Because it's not their responsibility. It's yours.
Exactly.
And if you don't protect and nurture you, that which you are called to do, nobody else is going to do it.
Nobody is going to do it. And, sister, do you see my phone? You have my phone number. Would you write it down? Because I'm not... where I can get your number right now.
Okay. All right. Great. So
yes.
I'll write it down.
Yeah, and you can
call
me.
You on the same number here. Let me write
yes.
it down real quick here. And when I'm going to read one more part of this book that says what we believe, because I think that is a blessing that I decide to use this book. I'm going to read What Do You Believe? And I'm going to read Desire is Prior. It's 10:17 and we have until 10:30 here. So do you want to say anything else before I read this?
No, go ahead.
Okay. What do you believe? It is not the thing believed in that brings an answer to man's prior. The answer to prior results when the individual subconscious mind responds to the mental picture or thought in his mind. This law of belief is operating in all religions of the world and is the reason why they are chronologically true. The Buddhist, the Christian, the Muslim, the Hebrew, all may get answers to their priors, not because of the particular creed, religion, affiliation, ritual, ceremony, formula, liturgy, incantation, sacrifices, or offering, but solely because of belief or mental acceptance and repetitivity. Remember, that was what you mentioned about repeating
right. yes.
the Stanley
yes.
brush.
Yes.
About that for which they pray, the law of life is the law of belief. And belief could be summed up briefly as a thought in your mind, as a man thinks, feels, and believes. So is the condition of his mind, body, and circumstances. A technique and methodology based on an understanding of what you are doing and why you are doing it will help you to bring about a subconscious embodiment of all the good things of life, essentially answered prior in the realization of your heart's desire. Desire is prior. Everybody desires health, happiness, security, peace and peace of mind, true expression, but many fail to achieve clearly defined results. A university professor admitted to me recently, I know that if I change my mental pattern and redirect my emotional life, my ulcer would not recur. But I do not have any technique possessed or modules operatum. My mind wanders back and forth on my many problems, and I feel frustrated, defeated, and unhappy. This professor had a desire for perfect health. He needed knowledge of ways his mind worked, which would enable him to fulfill his desire. My practicing the healing methods outlined in this book, he became whole and perfect. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful? Even the professor, who he knew that if he could still his mind and all of that, he could get his ulcers well.
Yeah.
And he just needed something to support it. And for some of us, it might be a book that we read. For others of us, it might be a mentor we're working with, or a coach, or a confidant, or a role model that we are working with that help us to reach this time in our life when we can get the result. I think I should just read this. I have 9 minutes, so let me read this one last thing here. There is one mind common to all individual minds, says Emerson. The miracle working powers of your subconscious mind exist before you and I were born, before any church or world existed. The great eternal truths and principles of life and endate all religions. It is with these thoughts in mind that I urge you in the following chapters to lay hold of this wonderful, magical, transforming power, which will bend you mentally and physical wounds. Proclaim liberty in the fear-ridden mind and liberate you completely from the limitations of poverty, failure, misery, lack, frustration. All you have to do is to unite mentally and emotionally with the good you wish to embody, and the creative powers of your subconscious will respond accordingly. Begin now, today. Let wonders happen in your life. Keep on keeping on until the day breaks and the shadow flee away. Wow. Am I glad? Am I glad I bought this book?
Yes.
I always go hopping on Amazon and anything the spirit say get. I didn't even know of this author. But I am so excited that I bought this book.
Yeah.
Ah, so we have 7 minutes remaining. Oh, my sister, I'm so glad that you call in, that we get some time to chat and just exchange some thoughts. And for the people who are probably in the chat room and it's not working, don't know why, but we'll get it fixed for Wednesday and for next Sunday. And for those of you who are online listening, you guys know I love you, love you, love you, love you, love you much. And this Wednesday, I'm Dr. Imad. I hope you can stop by at 12 o'clock. I don't know what your schedule is like, but I'm having 3 powerful sisters on. We are going to talk about something that you just mentioned, reinventing your life, your career, and your relationships.
Okay.
So I have I have Dr. Joy on, who is from New Jersey, a powerful lady. She's going to talk about wellness and all that good stuff, part of what we can do. Then we have T-Bonds, Tanisha Bonds, who is the founder of T-Bonds Cosmetic. This young woman I know from she was in high school and just watched to see her evolve. She has her own kind of Montessori after school program that she's also running to. She is doing some phenomenal things here, and she has reinvented her life a couple of times, and she's coming on here Wednesday to share with us. Then we have another woman who has an amazing story. When I just met her, I met her by her sharing her story with me about what happened to her during Katrina. Mm. And she is coming on Wednesday. She is coming on board to share that experience with us. So I have three amazing guests, three phenomenal women. And I want to invite everybody to stop by Wednesday and just join into the conversation. And on Sunday, we're going to have the Reverend Terry Walsh, who is the executive director of the Bridgeport Rescue Mission. He is going to be on the show next Sunday night. So, okay. You know, tonight I had a great time. You know, I didn't have any guests, but as you all know, I love me to talk. I would just talk. I love to talk. I ain't got no problem talking. So,
okay.
You know, I was so glad that Dr. Imad, you know, called in and that we get some sister time together and just to talk. I have some, you know, I'm just so excited about that and excited about what you are doing. So I am going to call you when I get off the air here and just share this with you while it's fresh, and then we'll see what the outcome is with it. I mean, when Spirit give us an instruction, we need to follow through.
Yes,
and see what happens. So I'm going to call you, and then we're going to take it from there. And for those of you who are listening online, I know you're all there, because every time I sign off, I say, oh, my heavens, there were so many people listening. And I'm here looking for people to call in, and they didn't call in. Everybody sitting and listening in the chat room. I say, oh, my God, somebody is really out there listening. So I'm always so excited to hear that. So, again, I am honored. I thank each and every one of you that has supported the show over these years. We've been on here since 2009, and I'm honored. I started with doing one show. Now I'm up to two. Then sometime I'm doing three and four a week. So God is good. So see you all on Wednesday. Stop by, Dr. Imad. Thank you, my sister, for always supporting. And I will call you in a few minutes.
All right, then. Have a good night. Thank you for having
me. Bye-bye. Pleasure. Bye-bye.
Thank you. baby. Thank you for showing me, and directing me, hallelujah, to my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Help.